You know, as we get older, it seems many of us do tend to go to the doctor more than we've ever gone, and that's the case for me. But sometimes our experiences at the doctors can be interesting. One time I went to the doctor a while back, and you know how they come in, they do their thing, then they leave, and they come back, and then they sort of wrap things up. Well, I'm waiting, I'm sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and like nobody's coming back. Finally, I stuck my head out the window, out the door, and I'm like, hello? Here, all the nurses are having lunch. They forgot me in the room. So I got a little Chinese food out of that deal. But anyway, more and more doctors are running their practices like an assembly line. One fellow walked into a doctor's office and the receptionist asked him what he had. He said, shingles. So she took down his name, address, medical insurance number and told him to have a seat. 15 minutes later, a nurse's aide came out and asked him what he had. He said, I have shingles. So she took down his height, weight, a complete medical history, and told him to wait in the examining room. A half hour later, a nurse came in and asked him what he had. He said, I have shingles. So she gave him a blood test, a blood pressure test, an electrocardiogram, and told him to take off his clothes and wait for the doctor. An hour later, the doctor came in and asked him what he had. He said, I have shingles. The doctor said, where? He said, outside in the truck. Where do you want them? Some of you have had similar experiences, I can tell. We often make jokes about aging. And while it is very healthy to keep a sense of humor about these things, in reality, we know that getting old is often no laughing matter. What Rick said is true. Getting old is not for sissies. Getting old brings some very serious challenges along the way. Dealing with the aging process, whether it be in us, in our bodies, or whether it be in our loved ones, it brings many challenges, physical challenges, mental challenges. Just before the service, I'm up there in the office, I'm like, where did I put my glasses? I couldn't find my glasses. You know how that goes? You want to read something, you take them off, you set them down, forget where you put them. Mental challenges along the way. Emotional challenges. Sometimes spiritual challenges as well. But of course, the alternative to getting old is not real attractive either. And some of you have lost loved ones that you can only wish had the opportunity to get old or older with you. But there is no guarantee that any one of us will live to what is called a ripe old age, whatever that age may be. The Bible says the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Psalm 90:10. How true, they quickly pass and we fly away. I don't care how old you are today, I believe that you would acknowledge that time flies. Old age can be cruel. One of the most poignant things for me is when Ronald Reagan came out and said, I have Alzheimer's disease. And then in the course of the last sunset years of his life, here was a man who at one point for 8 years was the most powerful man in the world. And in the sunset years of his life, he didn't even know what his name was. Old age can be cruel. And some of you today are living with the experiences of an aging parent or loved one whose mind is no longer sharp, maybe no longer dealing in reality, whose bodies are breaking down. Getting old can be cruel. It also can be a matter of perspective. When I came to Bible Fellowship Church in Newark, I did some reflection this week. In July of 1984, I was 30 years old, and to me, I was young and my parents were old. They were 54 and 56. I'm now 54. So it's sobering for me to consider that many of you here think I'm old. But while I don't consider myself old, I do acknowledge that I'm getting older. My body tells me so, my memory tells me so, or my lack thereof. And changes in my life situation tell me so. This week is one of those situations. Last Sunday afternoon, left for Milligan College, Tennessee, dropped Amber off for her senior year at Milligan College, and then Friday and yesterday we're up at Philadelphia PBU, dropping off Annie, our baby, for her time at Philadelphia Biblical University. We came home, Mr. and Mrs. Eagle, to our empty nest. Some of you have dealt very well with that. I believe in time we will as well. But right now, it's a little challenging. The AARP mailings that I get remind me that I'm older. Although it burns me up, I started getting those when I think I was 48 or 49 years old. As we grow older, we must pass through phases, and we must make appropriate adjustments if we are to remain healthy and vibrant in our old age. And I understand that as I share this morning that there's no set ways of what old age looks like. Again, very challenging, very different, yet some things remain the same. Life is a series of changes. It's a journey, a process, and each phase of that journey presents its challenges that we must face for God's glory and for our good, whatever those phases are. So again, moving from high school to college, there's some tremendous adjustments that have to be made in that time framework. A time when you're making the most critical life decisions that will impact your life for the rest of your life. Moving into the workforce. Again, young parenting and then as again, empty nesters and senior retirement. All of these times of life that we must make adjustments if we are going to continue to be vibrant. While this morning's subject deals specifically with getting older, if you don't consider yourself old this morning, please don't tune me out. And I'm not putting an age on it. You know, again, if we all live long enough, we'll all get old. There's a profound statement. Some of you are 30 and act like 80. Some of you are 80 and act like 30. So there's a whole lot more to it than just age. But there's something in this message for everyone this morning as we look at this challenge that should God allow, every one of us will face. So how do we grow old in a way that honors God? What does that look like? And if we're not yet what we would consider old, what can we learn from those who are? I read a poem about it, and getting older is, or I hope the later years of our life are more than this. I get up each morning, dust off my wits, pick up the paper and read the obits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. That's not getting old in a way that honors God and encourages yourself or others. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, we read a portion of this in our call to worship. Verses 12 through 15 reveal in graphic imagery a great goal for each of us to strive for by God's grace as we age. Psalm 92, beginning at verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And in Him there is no wickedness." What a great goal as we age in this world. To bear fruit. To flourish in the presence of God. To remain fresh and green, a vibrancy to our life, to remain faithful to God as He, of course, remains faithful to us. This psalm gives us some clues as to how we can do that as we grow older by God's grace. And I'll give you a little clue here. Again, if you don't consider yourself old, rest assured, everything I say is applicable to you as well and to me. As young people. This psalm begins with an attitude of the heart. Specifically, it's an attitude of praise. I read verses 1 through 8 in our call to worship. Skim them if you would. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. You make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. You, O Lord, are exalted forever. It begins with an attitude. I think it always does. And here is an attitude of praise. It is good to praise the Lord. It's always good. It's good in the sight of God, and it's good for us. Sometimes the older we get, and that doesn't mean we have to get to be 70 and 80. Sometimes the older we get, the more difficult it is to praise the Lord. First and foremost, getting old in a way that is for God's glory and for our good involves the attitude of our hearts. The last thing I want to become is a crotchety old man. There are several attitudes that we can fall prey to as we are getting older in this world. Let me mention just several of them. Number one, we can fall prey to an attitude of ungratefulness. Now, I said it could be at any age, so again, I don't care what age you are. This is something, if we're not careful, we can fall prey to these anytime in our lives. But as we grow older, let's be very careful of these things. Ungratefulness. At any age, an ungrateful spirit is an affront to God, and it's annoying to others. It's all too easy to begin to focus on the things that are wrong with myself, things that are wrong with all the people around me, things that are wrong with the way that things are in the world. And we begin to think that the good old days really were better in every sense. And if we're honest, they really weren't. Oh, there's some good things about the good old days, but we sort of blind ourselves to the things that weren't so good about the good old days. Our perspective can get easily distorted. We can begin to be a complainer. I read a little statement of a woman who said, "Sometimes I wake up grumpy, and then sometimes I just let him sleep." Let's not become grumpy old men. Some of you remember that movie. Another attitude to guard our hearts from is cynicism. Looked that up in a dictionary, and a cynic was an ancient Greek philosopher. Cynics were ancient Greek philosophers who taught that pleasure is an evil if sought for its own sake, and cynics made an ostentatious show of contempt for riches and enjoyment, right out of Webster's dictionary. Today we would say it's a sneering fault finder. One who disbelieves in the goodness of human motives and who is given to sarcasm and sneers. Cynicism. If you were at Pinebrook this year, I believe it was our speaker, Steve Cornell, who I think identified cynicism as one of those very things that come straight from the devil. Cynicism will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of your enthusiasm. Cynicism finds fault in everyone and everything. Cynicism complains and will find a negative in even the positive things of life. Cynicism says, just wait long enough and the bad will come out. Just wait long enough and people's true colors will show. Just wait long enough and a situation will turn for the worse. A cynic cannot enjoy and share in others' joys and successes, but seeks to bring others down to his or her level. Cynicism is something to be guarded against. There's the attitude of discouragement, or greater than that, I tried to think of the right word, a disheartenment. A disheartenment, particularly that comes with the regrets of a life maybe wasted. The regrets and guilt of mistakes made in life. Some fall prey to living in the past in an unhealthy manner. We cannot go back and undo the wrongs that we've done in our younger days. God does call us to seek to go back and in whatever way that we can and however it's possible to make those things right. To mend relationships that may have been broken. To seek forgiveness for wrongs that we've done. But we can't go back. We must go forward. And as we go forward, God calls us to deal with them, but God always begins where we are. Last week's call to worship included this great promise, Psalm 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you are good, O Lord. Some of those who are aged need to be set free from a life filled with failure, sin, regret. God's grace will set you free. Other attitudes to be careful of, an attitude of uselessness. Oh, how tragic it is that our society in some fashions promotes that. Putting our elderly people on a shelf. Self-pity, fear. Attitude is so important in any phase of our life. As we grow older, it seems that we have to be all the more focused on keeping it honoring to the Lord. There's some insights in this psalm about how to keep our attitudes fresh, about how to guard our hearts against these negative attitudes that keep us from being a fresh and fruitful and flourishing as we age. We must guard against ungratefulness, and the beginning of this psalm talks about the place of worship in our lives. Music, the place of worship to guard against ungratefulness with a focus on the great works of God. So the psalmist says to make music to your name, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. You make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, how profound your thoughts. A life of worship that ought to deepen and get stronger and more rich even as we grow older. How ironic it is that it seems one of the places that the generations are at odds is with the style of music with which we worship and praise God. If you've been around here long enough, you know that our style of worship is what we call blended. It's very purposeful because we want to be sensitive to all of those in terms of ages, generations, in terms of preferences and those things, not to mention the fact that we believe some of the rich hymns of our day would be a tragedy to not include them in our worship. At the same time, some of the choruses that have been written express very well a praise and worship unto the Lord. So we have sought to be sensitive to one another, and we need to continue to be sensitive to one another in the body, considering others with graciousness and forbearance. My first time back at PBU, that used to be Philadelphia Bible College, I was a graduate in 1979 in the last class downtown. Now they're out in Langhorne Manor, and I remember going back thinking, ooh, this ain't your father's PCB in terms of the worship. But it may not be what I would choose every day. But it's a generation's sincere worship unto the Lord. We need to be gracious. We need to be forbearing with one another across both sides of the spectrum. We must focus upon the Lord. That's the psalmist's focus. His greatness, His love, His faithfulness, His glorious works on our behalf. And the result is joy. I sing for joy. We need to guard against cynicism. We can do that as we have the perspective of eternity. It's so easy to lose perspective in our various life phases. It's easy for a teen to lose perspective and think that the world revolves around him or her when, oh, they'll learn very quickly, John Price, that it doesn't. I don't mean to be picking on John. Where's John? It's easy to lose perspective, again, when we get into college and it's like, whoa, look at the syllabus of this course and that course and that course. I'll never be able to do this. It's easy to lose perspective when you got three kids under five running around. And you say, oh my goodness, is this ever going to end? It's easy to lose perspective when everybody's gone, empty nest. It's easy to lose perspective when it comes to retirement and then old age. Notice the psalmist has an appropriate perspective on life, on what's wrong in the world, on his enemies, on the evil in the world and its effects on him. He says, how great are your works, O Lord, how profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. The man without perspective does not understand. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they'll be forever destroyed. Growing old in a way that honors the Lord involves keeping the right perspective about life. In the midst of all that you've seen and are seeing, know that the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne. He is sovereign. He is in control. He is accomplishing His purposes in the world, whether it be through elections, through wars, through economic woes that may come and go, through natural disasters, dealing with the illness in your life, and even dealing with death as it comes close to us. God is on His heavenly throne. God is in His holy temple. And I remind you, no child of God will ever outlive God's faithfulness. I don't care if God takes that child when they're 8 years old or 80 years old or 108 years old. The child of God will never outlive God's faithfulness. The child of God will never be called home. This life will never end until it's God's sovereign time for His sovereign purpose, which many of the times we don't understand. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. Isaiah 46:4. I am He who will sustain you. I have several. Carl Smith's mother, Brenda Minker's mother, Andrea Slayton's father, very recently, it was a rescue from the suffering of their lives, that they lived a full and wonderful life, demonstrating God's grace, and God said, I'm bringing you home. Exodus 15:13, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Guard against discouragement, that disheartenment, as we focus on the proclamation of confidence. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him. Where is your confidence? Whatever age you are, but as we grow older, where will your confidence be? It needs to be in Jesus Christ, the Lord, my rock. Appreciated the song the Philip sang, my hope is in the Lord. The solid rock says this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We rest in His grace, full and free. Back to verses 12 to 14 very quickly. What a beautiful picture of getting old in a manner that's for God's glory and for our good. The attitude of our hearts, which we've just mentioned, as important and critical as that is, that God would guard our attitudes as we grow older. The attitude of our hearts will be determined by where we put down our roots. As we grow older, it's imperative that we continue to put our roots down deeply into the soil of God's Word. That we put those roots down in the faithfulness of His promises. And we will flourish as we feed upon the riches of God's Word in our old age, and of course, in every age as well. Our attitudes will be honoring to God as we abide in Christ. That's the picture here, an agricultural picture, being planted, flourishing, bearing fruit. Can't help but think of John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you obey my commands, you will remain or abide in my love. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We never outlive or outgrow our need to be rooted in God's word. We never outgrow or outlive our need to embrace His word in our hearts daily. Staying fresh and green while continuing to bear fruit. That is, by God's grace, as we are able, we must remain active in serving the Lord. Brings up a question about retirement. Did you know the concept of retirement is in the Bible? I won't look at it now, but Numbers chapter 8, verses 23 through 26 speak about those who were involved in ministering in the temple, and there would be a time when they would retire, the tabernacle. Our activities and service for the Lord will likely take on different forms as we slow down, sometimes by necessity. But, and here is the very important thing, we must never, ever consider retirement as our time to stop our service for the Lord. So in our culture, we have something called retirement. People enter into it. That's okay. Unless you're going to sit on your rocking chair on your porch all your life, the rest of your life. It is not a time to cease serving the Lord. Serving may change as we grow older. But you know what? As we grow older, we're more free to serve the Lord in various capacities. The gifts that you have to offer the body of Christ as an older person are phenomenal, as they've been cultured and developed and used throughout your life. How tragic it is that there are times then when a person comes and they say, well, it's someone else's turn. Please don't take that mindset. We all need to continue to be active in serving our Lord. Boy, in my home church, there was a woman named Kathleen Storch. She never married. She was the overseer of the nursery ministry as long as I could ever remember, years before I was born, and long after I left Emmaus Bethel Bible Fellowship Church. And she was in that key position for all those years. We've got needs in Awana. We've got needs in Children's Church. There are those with skills that you had in business, handyman skills, mentoring. Dottie with our ladies group now, heading over and meeting with moms on a regular basis. Lindsay Booth, some of you don't even know. Lindsay is retired from being a public school teacher. How many years? No, how many years did you teach? 22 years teaching there, but she retired. And she's taking counseling courses now, biblical counseling, and she's ministering in various ways and enhancing and developing her gifts and ministry in her retirement. I wish I had time. I knew that I wouldn't, but I was hopeful to be able to just sort of even have opportunity for some testimony now. Some of our senior saints who are serving the Lord. And I can't start to mention names because I'm going to not be able to mention everybody. But you know what? Let me do this. How many of you here, don't be bashful, are 65 years of age or more? Stand up. 65 years or more, stand up. Come on. Don't be bashful. Take a look around. Take a look around. Wonderful. And some of those, we've got others that are not here today. Thank you very much for being bold enough to admit that. Some don't like to admit that. I don't know, you know. It is what it is, right? I don't have time to go into this. There are two great examples of an old man who was fresh and green to the end. There are many others in Scripture. Some of them are obscure and others are well known, but even Simeon and Anna are two that come to mind of ones that are a little bit less known. But you all know Joshua. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 13, give you a sense of that. Joshua said, I was 40 years old when I went and spied out the land of Canaan and came back and gave a good report. I'm now 85, and I'm ready to take the land. And he did. You gotta love Caleb. Again, a man who was fresh and green to the end of his life. Paul, of course, was another example. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. A man who finished well. Final principles, challenges. To those still on the road to being old, may the Bible Fellowship Church of Newark be a place where those elderly among us are honored, respected, and treated with dignity and esteem. Forgive us when we have not communicated that, in whatever way that may have been. The Word of God is clear about the honor that is due our older members. Young men, be submissive to those who are older. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat older women as mothers. Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not a long life bring understanding? There's an example in 1 Kings 12 of a younger generation that despised the advice of his elders. That was King Rehoboam. To his shame and ultimate demise, he went to his elders. They gave him advice. He spurned it, and it said he listened to his peers, and they led him down a road of destruction. May we esteem our older generation among us. And then may we live our days in a manner that makes the most of the time that we have, because none of us knows if we'll ever make it to being old. None of us know. Every day is a gift from God. So teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And then to the old among us, I challenge you to be a living demonstration of God's faithfulness and love to a younger generation that needs to see it lived out and fleshed out over the years. And I admire you who have lived a life faithfully and served the Lord and experienced His love and have shared it with others and have guarded your hearts from those attitudes and continue to be a living light to those around you of God's faithfulness. That's not to say you ignore the challenges of getting older. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about demonstrating the faithfulness of God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. One generation will commend your works to another. They'll tell of your mighty acts. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. There's a lot more to say, but we got to stop. Let me read a poem I came across. A poem written by Robertson McQuilkin. Some of you may recognize that name, president of Columbia Bible College. His father was the founder and first president of that Bible college. In his later years, he quit his job and he tended to his wife who had Alzheimer's disease. And for the last numerous years of her life, he tended to her by her bedside until the Lord called her home. Robertson McQuilkin is now home to be with the Lord as well, but he wrote a poem called Let Me Get Home Before Dark. It's sundown, Lord. The shadows of my life stretch back into the dimness of the years long spent. I fear not death, for that grim foe betrays himself at last, thrusting me forever into life. Life with you, unsoiled and free. But I do fear. I fear the dark specter may come too soon, or do I mean too late, that I should end before I finish, or finish, but not well, that I should stain your honor, shame your name, grieve your loving heart. Few, they tell me, finish well. Lord, let me get home before dark. The darkness of a spirit grown mean and small. Fruit shriveled on the vine, bitter to the taste of my companions, burdened to be borne by those brave few who love me still. No, Lord. Let the fruit grow lush and sweet, a joy to all who taste. Spirit sign of God at work, stronger, fuller, brighter at the end. Lord, let me get home before dark. The darkness of tattered gifts, rust locked, half spent or ill spent, a life that once was used of God now set aside, grief for glories gone or fretting for a task God never gave, mourning in the hollow chambers of memory, gazing on the faded banners of victories long gone. Can I not run well unto the end? Oh Lord, let me get home before dark. The outer me decays. I do not fret or ask reprieve. The ebbing strength but weans me from Mother Earth and grows me up for heaven. I do not cling to shadows cast by immortality. I do not patch the scaffold lent to build the real eternal me. I do clutch about me my cocoon, vainly struggling to hold hostage a free spirit, pressing to be born. But will I reach the gate in lingering pain, body distorted, grotesque? Or will it be a mind wandering, untethered among light fantasies or grim terrors? Of your grace, Father, I simply humbly ask, let me get home before dark. What a beautiful prayer. I don't care what age we are. Let's stand together and sing that hymn of confidence. It's a change from your bulletin. Number 340, I referenced the words. Let's just sing the first stanza. Again, the clock moves. I apologize. Number 340. You know what? It talks about going home. My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not acknowledged that you're a sinner and trusted Jesus Christ as the one who died on the cross in your place for your sins because He wants you to be with Him forever in eternity. If you've never come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, man, talk to somebody today. One of the pastors, just grab us and say, man, I want to talk more about that. Let's sing On Christ, the Solid Rock I Stand.